Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's outline of advancement in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he has said that the elements of Shraddha and Bhajana Kriya are very important to come to the first step of chanting Hare Krishna. But he has also mentioned that we must attain maturity in chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, I see Krishna. Your brother has come also? Very good. Thank you. You have received the letter?
Yes.
Good. We have to discuss something. This chanting, however, which is the first state of chanting, has to come to a maturity, and the maturity Bhaktivinoda Thakur defined as trying to give up the various offenses. This is possible, and here he has given the next step. If a devotee sincerely cultivates the four qualities which are expressed in the third shloka of the holy name. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described these qualities so important that he said one should string this verse, Trinadapi, on some string and carry it around the neck, like what is supposed to be most important. Maybe a Tulsi neck beads. Sometimes devotees have a little placate which reminds them of Trinadapi Sunichina, which they carry around the neck to remember this. It's so important that Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, I want to proclaim something with raised arms. This is the verse which he wants to proclaim in a way that we don't forget to do this. This verse helps us to destroy the false ego. After the false ego is destroyed, one can become free from the attachments to the material world, which are described in the fourth shloka, and finally come to the platform where one accepts what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, his spiritual identity, his Siddha Deha. We have repeated the warning, so also for the tape hearing posterity, so that they know that this is a mature, well considered presentation. This of course doesn't mean that one speculates but about one's identity, but it is revealed when one has gone through the school. How this is revealed and in relationship to the holy name will be explained later. We need to be a little bit patient and work on the groundwork so that the other more deeper things do make sense and we do not become that it's in the right understanding. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur continues on. To read this to you. One should carefully accept the sequence as given in the Shikshastaka if he wants to attain perfection. By observing the activities of sadhus, one can attain a pure intellect. On achieving Siddha Deha, as one continues bhajan, he can easily enjoy service throughout the day and the night. And this refers to that a devotee, after praying from his heart for eternal service to Lord Krishna, if he is pure, the holy name will bestow that understanding upon him. Then he will be moved by the holy name to tears. It is described here, O Prabhu, Nayanam Galadashrudaraya, Varanam Gatgadarudaya Gira, pulakaye nichitam vapukada tavanama grahane bhavishyati. When will my eyes be filled with a stream of tears? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand erect in ecstasy as I chant your holy name? See, now the heart is softened. When the holy name is heard, the chanter knows, this is my dear Lord, this is Srimati Radharani. And there will be a very beautiful displays of transcendental ecstasy, which expressed in our different shastras. Bhava is there. Then comes the higher stages where the devotees, I don't want to speak so extensively on this at this moment, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the eightfold activities are awakened in the heart. One should remember Shikshastaka, he says, and practice Smarana and Kirtan accordingly. Then gradually Ashtakala service will be awakened in the heart. At that time, all unwanted contaminations, including religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation, will appear insignificant, and when one will achieve the treasure of love. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ends his wonderful book, Bhajan Rahasya, by exclaiming to all of us, "Oh brother," this is the end of the book, "the holy name never loses potency, either at the stage of practice or perfection. Therefore chant the holy name and consider it your sole objective. Don't consider any other means of sadhana." No need. Everything is in the holy name. This point is brought out very, very beautifully in a session of wonderful instructions to Gop Kumar. I think there is not one devotee here who is not familiar with the story of Gop Kumar. When he has left the material universe, he meets Lord Shiva, and a very interesting discussion takes place where the Vishnu Dutas are joining and starting to give instructions to Gop Kumar. They will give instructions to Gop Kumar which will enable him after the liberation to attain the positive side. After he has given up the negative side of the material world, he will now enter into the positive spiritual world, first the Vaikuntha planets and then finally Goloka Vrindavan. And as a means to go there, they give him the process of Naam Kirtan, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. First they put aside the process of Smaranam, that is meditation on Lord Krishna. They give reasons why Kirtanam is better, and we will enter here. They say, simply practice pure devotional service in the form of Nam Sankirtan with the hope of attaining the eternal association of the divine lotus feet of the Lord. This hope must be there, not so that your chanting gets a direction. Why do they say that chanting is so great? They say, the first reason which they give is, the chanting engages the speech, the sense of hearing, and the mind. They don't speak of mindless chanting. They say Smaranam engages only the mind, but here the chanting engages speech and hearing and the mind. They give other reasons. They say the chanting acts like a potent mantra that can attract precious objects like prema to come from a great, great distance. Don't know if you know this art of chanting mantras. I don't know it. But there are apparently mantras that if you chant them, something which is far away comes very close to you. Like we know this yogi which Prabhupada speaks about, who supplied pomegranate apples from Kabul upon request. I don't know if he did it by mantra or by, maybe he did it by some Prabhupada city, by reaching to Kabul in a mystical way and plucking a branch. But there are mantras which, when you chant them, they attract precious objects to come from a great distance. I only know one mantra which I have. Om Hanuman, something with Hanuman. I have even forgot it because I'm so excited to deliver my talk. We chant them a lot in Germany. When we lose things, then you get your key back. It works. On one of our trips, we had a far out retreat. We rented a boat and went by boat over the ship, over the ocean. The motto of our journey was crossing the ocean of material existence. It was really something. And someone lost, who was a carrier of spectacles, this part of the spectacles which allows the spectacle to rest comfortably on the nose. And if this is gone, the same spectacle which is desirable becomes highly undesirable because it creates a great pain in the nose. So he said, I'm sorry, I have to interrupt my journey if I don't find this little gnini kliplik. That's a word which expresses all, I think. It's a gliplik. So I'm aware this is a new English word. So this happens. So we said, well, chant the Hanuman mantra. Who knows? Om Shri Pavan Sutraya Namaha. And it was night already. But he chanted it. And he found in the midst of a harbor this little thing which is invisible to eyes without spectacles, especially when there's night and you can't see anyways anything. So the chanting, this was the example which is used, is like a potent mantra, the Vishnu Duta said, that can attract precious objects like prema to come from a great distance. So the chanting brings you on this stage where you actually develop love for Krishna. Believe it or not, it will come. At that time, you will be fixed on your vow that I am an eternal servant. Ayinanda Tanuya. And then after this, you will develop an attachment to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the time when your attachment is fixed, then Bhava will enter your heart, and your heart will melt sufficiently. This is I'm still at the instructions. I will explain these instructions later. Then they say, the sankirtan of the names will only manifest, this is very important, when there is Arti Bhavan. I quote this from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita as translated by Gopi Paranandana Prabhu, and which he has translated as an excess of agony. The real Naam, in other words, will appear only when your mood is enhanced with a transcendental hankering. And two examples are given by Sanatana Goswami in his purport. You all know the Chataka, bird. Then after when the rainy season is there, he will fly towards the clouds and call out, make a sound, Priya, Priya. Priya means my dear one. This is how he will greet the cloud. My dear one. And you will hear this Priya, Priya. Also during cloudless days in the rainy season, you hear the chatak, but Priya, 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 calling for the cloud. This, why does a chatak bird call for the cloud to quench his thirst? Well, he has a certain way of drinking that he will never drink from the ground. And if he has stayed for some time without water, he is in dire need of the cloud, and he will cry with a feeling of agony or hankering, is maybe easier, and so on. The second example which is given are the Chakravaka birds. They somehow have a curse over them, and it is explained somewhere, I have forgotten just now, that they cannot meet their The lovers cannot meet, but they have love in their heart. This must be terrible if there is this attachment and love and there is no meeting possible. So the whole night they lament painfully during the absence of their beloved. You hear them also making their respective sounds. So the chanting must have must have this sound in it. But the sound is not produced here, but it must be produced in the heart. It's not a vocal sound, it's a heart sound. That I need you, my dear Lord. Prabhupada said, the Govinda necessity is the only thing we need. Yes, Hare Krishna. Only then this will attract the Lord. If there is no hankering, this sound is not there, doesn't work. Prabhupada had also said we must cry in the helpless way of a mother. People whose vision is blinded by false ego and by material attachments cannot cry. What happens to a child who cannot cry for the mother? It will die after some time. So for a sadhaka who cannot cry for Krishna, who doesn't have this hankering, his sadhana will become rasasvada, without any ras, without any taste, and he will be condemned to chant his offensive dry rounds and not experience Krishna consciousness and stay for ages on the same platform. So this is very serious, these instructions of the Vishnu Dutas to Gop Kumar. They extol the glories of the chanting and what it can do. Then they say, but only if there's Ati Bhavan, an excess of agony or crying for Krishna. I think now we can understand why it is so important to be free of ego. As long as the ego is there, this doesn't come. You think, it's all right. Even if I'm a little miserable, I will make my own arrangements in my life. I want to read to you from Bhakti, from Sanatana Goswami's purport. The proper way to execute bhajan of the Bhagavan Nam Sankirtan is to call out to one's beloved Lord in great pain, expressing one's feelings in various attractive songs. Yasho Mati Nandana Rajabara Nagara. This is one of these songs. The next thing they say to Gop Kumar is, you must know one thing, Gop Kumar. The sweetness of Nam Sankirtan comes about by the mercy of the Lord, not by your own endeavor. The mercy of the Lord can make it possible. So after Gop Kumar has heard these instructions of the Supreme of the servants of the Lord, he is advised to go to Vrindavan and learn more. When he goes to Braj, he learns from the Brahmanas the ninefold process of devotional service, meets his guru who tells him everything, and at the end he breaks out in spontaneous song where he applies really the instructions of the Vishnu Dutas. This song is given in Brihad Bhagavatam Rita. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda Nanda Kishora Krishna Ashri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Ballavi Jeevani Radhikesha. This is how he chants. Then it is described, for a moment he has a short darshan of the Lord, and then he continues on in his journey. He goes first to the Vaikuntha planets, and because his devotion is not yet fully matured, and he comes later after his long journey back home, back to Godhead. It's a long subject, we do not wish to go into the details, but what is important for us here is that the Vishnu Dutas give this process of Nam Sankirtan to Gop Kumar, knowing well that everything is in the name. This is Lord Chaitanya's instructions also to Swarup Damodan Ramananda Roy. He says, Nama Sankirtan Kalo Parama Upaya Iyo Hoite Sarva Siddhi Habi Sabhara. The supreme process of spiritual realization in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name. Through it you will attain all perfections. Now, we speak of perfection. I will invite a few of my listeners to come back from the kingdom of sleep. Hare Krishna, Prabhus, Matajis, join us again, please, because we reach another important stretch which you need to be aware of. In our Krishna consciousness, we must be aware that our Krishna conscious sadhan bhakti flows in two streams. One is vidhi and the other is raga. Vidhi, please don't immediately get angry when you hear this word. I know it was dealt with not well, but it is in the past. What to speak? We are a young movement. We have to come to grips with our philosophy. Vidhi means to follow the regulations of scripture out of respect for the majesty of God. It's often mixed with fear. If I don't do this, I don't progress, or doesn't work. A very good example of devotees who follow out of the vidhi impulse, the respect and fear, are the devatas. I want to read to you a typical prayer of the person who is on Vaidhi Bhakta. Data yat asmin bhava isha jivasta patrena bihata nashanma atmang labante bhagavang stavangri chayang savidyamata ashramema. O Father, O Lord, O Personality of Godhead, the living entities in the material world can never have any happiness because they are overwhelmed by the three kinds of miseries. Therefore, they take shelter of the lotus feet, of the shade of your lotus feet, which are full of knowledge, and we also thus take shelter of them. They are afraid of the material existence, and they now go to the Lord to help them in this. I want to express this motive in a provocating term. It's they want to save their own skins, really. The other motive is different. It is an intense attachment to the Lord. They love the Lord because He is lovable. They are not no longer in their own world, my problems which I need to solve. But they think God-centered. They are no longer ego-centered in their approach, but Theo-centered, Krishna-centered, and they want to please the Lord because they like Him. They feel great attachment. Now, I think it would be an unpermissible question, but what do you think, which kind of bhakti Krishna prefers? It's so clear that we should not even say this. Here, Lord Krishna explains that he prefers devotional service which is done out of attachment to Him. He says, it's now a quotation from the Adi Lila 4:17:35. All the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. He says, it's weakened. This love, even regards me as a supreme lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. The way Prabhupada has trained us, there are many, many, many schoolrooms in his transcendental university, but what strikes the person who has studied these different ways, the Vidhimag and the Ragmag, what strikes him that Prabhupada seems to even say on a new platform that we should consider Krishna's interest. As a bhakta, I have been growing up with the sentence of my temple president, do the best for Krishna. Do it for Krishna. For Krishna. This was Prabhupada's motto in all what he did. I do not now want to extrapolate some great, great, great transcendental mystery from such a small sentence, do the best for Krishna. But I think you must agree with me that Prabhupada preached a theocentric sadhana and not a egocentric sadhana, where the interests of the Lord would be put into practice. When he talks about the gopis, it is very clear, as you read in Krishna book, that the main example which he takes from the gopis, that which we should follow in our lives, is to selflessly give to Krishna. I remember this. Yes, I will come in greater depths to these subjects, but this is a very important consideration, that this Krishna consciousness, there is a state of transcendental attachment. Now, for academic studies, because we are the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, we will now look at what is raga, which is so much extolled. The raga is defined in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I would wish to read to you these very nice verses. And Madhya Lila. The stage of spontaneous devotional service, where you serve Krishna because He is Krishna and not because you are afraid of your own, that your own skin gets laced in the material world. The raga, the attachment to Krishna, we can find actually in the inhabitants of Vrindavan. I know that many of you are very familiar with these texts, but I will read them yet another time to you, because the tape hearing posterity will be interested in this. The original inhabitants of Vrindavan are attached to Krishna spontaneously in devotional service. This is Matya Lila 22, text 149. Nothing can compare to such spontaneous devotional service, which is called Ragatmika Bhakti. When a devotee follows in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan, his devotional service is called Raga Nuga Bhakti. This term Raga is attachment, and Anuga means following. You're following the footsteps of people, of role models, so to say, which are the original inhabitants of Vrindavan. They are so attached to Krishna. Sanatana Goswami describes, when the cowherd boys see Lord Krishna passing through the forest and therefore passing trees, for a moment they cannot see Lord Krishna. This alone creates already a reaction in them. They begin to cry, "Where is Krishna?" Then he comes through, he's just there. This is called attachment, right? When one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his natural inclination to love is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Lord. That is called transcendental attachment. And devotional service according to that attachment is called ragatmika, or spontaneous devotional service. Then the definition is repeated. The primary characteristic of spontaneous love is deep attachment for the personality of Godhead, and then absorption in him is a marginal characteristic. Thus, devotional service which consists of raga, deep attachment, is called ragatmika, spontaneous loving service. If a devotee covets, that is, hankers after such a position, he is considered to be most fortunate. If one follows in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan out of such transcendental covetousness, the word is loba, and it's also greed sometimes is used, but covetousness is also the same thing. When this is there, he does not care for the injunctions or reasonings of Shastras. That is the way of spontaneous love. Now, a few verses later, it is described how this comes into your heart, this attachment. When an advanced realized devotee hears about the affairs of the devotees in Vrindavan, in the mellows of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, so when he hears, he becomes inclined in that way. Oh, I also. This is very good. And his intelligence becomes attracted. Indeed, he begins to covet that particular type of devotion. When such covetousness is awakened, one's intelligence no longer depends on the instructions of Shastra, revealed scripture, logic or argument. He doesn't have to be convinced any longer. He is attached. An attached person doesn't have to be convinced to eat now. He says, where is, I want. This is a natural thing. Let me summarize. It's a very simple concept, actually, which is expressed here. The concept is, you hear how you have no love, but you hear how devotees love Krishna. And by hearing this on an advanced, purified level, you become attracted. Let me also do this. Let me also do this. And you then enter into this path where you act out of attraction and not out of save your skin. So the crucial question here, after describing the goal to be with Krishna and how to get there, that is by raga, by transcendental attachment to him, the question is how to get there. This was only a goal. Now we must have our sadhana together, how to get there. And this is where the glory of Krishna consciousness, movement enters, and where Prabhupada's presentation stands supreme theologically. The way he said we should get there is by the 64 acts of devotional service, which are explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These are activities which engage you on your present level, with your present senses and your present mind, in the service of Krishna. Of these 64 acts, activities, there are five which are especially highlighted, and you have heard yesterday about them from Burijan Prabhu in his lecture, the Panchanga Bhakti. Who can summarize, who can call, can we get them together, please? These five activities. Nam Sankirtan, Sadhu Sangha, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mathura Vas, living in Vrindavan, and? Yeah, doing service. Yes. These five limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. This was quoted yesterday also. If you want to read about them, please refer to Matya Lila chapter 22, text 129 and onwards. So, let me go a little bit with you into an attempt to understand how this works. When you act on the spiritual level, although you may not be on the spiritual level, if these are bona fide spiritual activities which you do, which have spiritual potency, they will, after some time, model you and change you. The example which has been given, I believe, in Nectar of Instruction, is a little child who does not know who to walk, but who is going through the movements. I must claim, not without a solid basis of pride, some success in teaching children how to walk. It's very easy. You put them on your own feet and you go with them. They will be forced to do the movements by your own movements, and after some time they get the organism gets the idea and they walk. Five children I have managed to start with Dougie, then Mark Aurelius, then three others. Then I said, see, enough. it somehow jumps over, or like jump starting a car. You run with him, you push him, and then after some time, dun, 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 he goes. Now this is very important to understand, and I want to read now to you an excerpt from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which is taken from the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-11. This is a no-nonsense purport, and it will speak to all of us, young and old alike, to stop putting material informations through our material senses. It's a very heavy purport. Be prepared. When devotees begin prosecuting devotional service in accordance with the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, they engage their ears and other senses in pure devotion by hearing of the Lord, chanting His glories, remembering Him, offering obeisances to Him, giving Him personal attendance, and so forth. Thus the devotees make the Lord's transcendental qualities the objects of their senses, as stated by the Lord Himself, Nirguno Mat Apashrayaha. This is service beyond the modes of nature, devotional service. pure devotional service. In this way, the devotees' bodies transcend the material modes. Yet sometimes, I would say in the Hare Krishna movement, most of the times, yet sometimes the devotees may take as their sense objects mundane sounds and so on, and that is material. Thus a devotee's body can have two aspects, a transcendental and a material. Now to the degree where you are still, what this says is, for the degree in which you are engaged in spiritual activities, where you make the Lord's personality your object, you are in a spiritual body. But if you hear material sounds, read material literature, think material thoughts, to that degree also you have a material aspect in you. According to one's level of devotional service, to that degree the transcendental aspects of one's body become prominent and the material aspects diminish. This transformation is described in the following verse from the Bhagavatam. Bhakti parishanu bhavo viraktir anyatra chaisha trikaye kakala prapatyamanasya yatashnatasyus tushtis pushti chuttapayo nagasam. Now an example is given. See, when you eat, and only eat, after some time, the food will make something. It will be, in the same way, if you engage in spiritual activities, these activities will do something to you. They will spiritualize you. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and a detachment from other things. These three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way, that pleasure, nourishment and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. I remember I met my friend Uwe in the main station of Hamburg. Uwe had seen me the last time with the Rolling Stones on a concert there. In a state which I'm too ashamed to describe to you in great detail. Then he saw me after half a year of eating prasadam and putting spiritual things in our senses. And we were very strict as the young buck in the young days in ISKCON. And we didn't do it out of pain, but out of joy. We were so joyous that sometimes we would just jump up and down in kirtan on the street, and we had one devotee who would stop the chanting, gleam at us, and say, "We are going back to Godhead." And he was jumping up and down. He could not contain his pleasure and excitement with the sweet promise which was before him. This was our enthusiasm. It was mixed with some whatever, but enthusiasm was there. Hare Krishna. So Uwe saw me like this. He was half an hour looking at me, and I was not really so much aware of my surroundings because I was in the same town where I did my Mr. Hyde activities, activities one is ashamed as a bhakta. And I would usually look at the floor because there were so many people who knew me, who passed by, and I was still a little bit ashamed to be, not really ashamed to be a devotee, but this encounters with, you know, previous people of both genders would sometimes embarrass me before the devotees. My friends were usually dressed in unconventional styles, and I know the devotees were trying to become conventional in some ways. I noticed it was Uwe who glanced at me. He was my friend, and I left the devotees for a while and said, "Haribol." We said, just before we start, are you? And he called me by my passport name. I can't believe you. You look very differently. You mean the haircut, isn't it? No, not that. Not that. You also had short hair sometimes. I know you both start hairstyles, but he looked at me. And at the end he left, convinced it was not me. He said, you're tricking me. You're not that person I know. Because there was another vibration coming, which had, what I want to say is not that I'm a saintly devotee. This was after half a year. I did many bad things after that time and also during that time, which are not very spiritual. But I want to say that anyone who feeds himself with transcendental objects develops spiritual qualities, and people can see it. It's an objective truth. It is nothing mysterious. It is bound to happen. It is bound to happen also when you are an older devotee, by the way. It doesn't stop with the enthusiastic bhakta days. You must always do this. Nourish yourself with spiritual things. When one achieves totally pure love of God, the material portions of the body disappear and the body becomes completely spiritual. Nonetheless, so as not to disturb the false opinions of atheists, and so as to protect the confidentiality of devotional service, the Supreme Lord usually has his illusory energy exhibit the demise of the gross body. Huh? The statement is here, your body becomes spiritual. Then the question is, you don't need to die. You go in your spiritual body to the spiritual world. But no, says Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, there is some illusion going on for the atheistic people of death. An example of this is the disappearance of the Yadavas during the Maushala Leela. Sometimes, however, to proclaim the excellence of Bhakti Yoga, of this process, that you can spiritualize your whole existence, Krishna will allow a devotee to go back to Godhead in his self-same body, as in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. We can cite evidence from this for this point from the 25th chapter of the 11th canto. And then an evidence is given. Krishna gives this evidence. A living entity who conquers the modes of material nature which are manifested from the mind can dedicate himself to me by the process of devotional service and thus attain pure love for me. Let me summarize the point so that the point does not get lost. This Krishna consciousness treatment, it starts with Vaidhi Bhakti, where an unqualified soul is really taken into a camp of activities which surrounds him. It's almost a hospital treatment. In Thailand, there are many drug addicts and they put them into these hospitals where they say, don't leave, it will be heavy, don't leave, go through this, eat this food, don't take the other things, yams and niyamas, have this engagement therapy and so on. And we guarantee you after a month you will be clean and pure in your blood. So by subordinating oneself to a set of rules and regulations, one can make this therapy. Prabhupada gave this example once, that Krishna consciousness is a hospital, and prasadam is the diet, and the chanting is the medicine. Now, this is the logic in it. You become purified and purified, and at a certain stage, as we will see later, you will serve Krishna with the beginning stages of love and attachment. You will think of him in this way, and you are no longer in the safe my skin category. A very neophyte and very not pleasing concept to the Lord. So we continue. Of all these 64 activities which have been given, the chanting gets the honor of the first place. In the Adya, in the Antya Lila, chapter 4, text 70 to 71 is the following verse. I will immediately say it in English. Of the many ways of executing devotional service, there are 9 that are considered to be foremost, for they possess a great capacity to deliver love for Krishna, and thus Krishna himself. Of these 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is the chanting of the Lord's holy name. For if one chants without committing offenses, he will obtain the treasure of love for the Lord. In other words, chanting is good on the Vaidhi Bhakti platform, where you love yourself more than anything and anyone, and also on the more advanced platform where you have attachment to Krishna. The name of Krishna is often called the Taraka name for this age. Have you heard this word? Taraka. Taraka means that which offers liberation. But some acharyas say that it is also the Paraka name, that is the name which attracts you to Krishna. And Shastric Praman is given here. It's, I will quote the verse, Antya Lila 20th chapter, text 13. By performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful conditions of material existence. That's part Taraka, one gets liberation, purify the unclean heart, and now comes and awaken all varieties of devotional service. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Premamrita. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. Hare Krishna. I am aware, reading these texts, you still look very attentive. Congratulations and thank you very much. But I know that so many verses come, after some time, the mind gets overflooded and cannot think so carefully. So at some lectures, the lecturer will now resort to the trick of, you know, making everyone laugh or so on and so forth. Which is good. A good trick is, sounds so bad-minded. I mean, the means and so on. But because I come from Germany, I will go on intensely for 5 more minutes. This was also making you laugh, but only short. For 5 more minutes, because if you have set these things, set the goals, then we can get to very exciting things. Subjects. Then we will make a little pause. You might now ask yourself correctly, you've said so much now about the glories of the holy name and how it works. Now, first of all, we don't feel this. We feel very dry and very happy when we have chanted our 16 rounds. And don't ask us how our rounds are, you know, but you see, and look, I have a monocular glass. I hid myself behind a tree of the Parikrama path in Vrindavan, and I have seen you coming by with your Japa Mala, when you were not being watched and you were also chanting dry rounds. You can't tell me. I've seen it with my monocular glass. It does not work. This is the first objection which I have, the critic might say. The second is, you have not convinced me as of yet why the chanting is so powerful. You have read verses, but why? So I will first address the why, then I will go to why the holy name is so powerful and why these verses work, and then I will address the subject of why we don't experience it always. And this will be very exciting and interesting subject matter. The Lord has two forms, it is said. Vachyam and Vachakam. O Holy Name, you possess two features, Vacha, or the deity form of the Lord, and Vachakam, or the transcendental form of syllables, Krishna Govinda. You eternally exist in these two forms, huh? The personal body of the Lord, personal form of the Lord, and the name. And of these two, I consider the form of the holy syllables, like Krishna, to be infinitely more compassionate than the form of the deity. Because if a person, having taken shelter of the deity form, commits aparad or offenses, like seva aparad, the only recourse he has in his attempt to become free from his offenses, to become the servant of the holy name, and chant incessantly Krishna Govinda and so on, by your immeasurable supramundane potency, all his offenses disappear and he experiences uninterrupted joy, submerged in an ocean of ecstasy. In other words, when the devotee takes shelter of the name form, the name will forgive offenses, whereas the personal form of the Lord is very particular of the offenses. The name is invested with all power, which we have heard already earlier in the verse. I have another verse. You have invested your full potency in each individual holy name, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment for chanting your holy names. But there is the power of the holy name. And to end this session, I want to read to you a verse from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which was pointed out in a talk with a godbrother to me. It's from a song glorifying the name of the Lord. When the name is even slightly revealed, it shows me my own spiritual form and characteristics. It steals my mind and takes it to Krishna's side. When the name is fully revealed, it takes me directly to Braj, where it shows me my personal role in the eternal pastimes. This is the last song of Sharanagati. The name, in other words, because it is more merciful than it is Krishna, but more merciful than Krishna's form, will give you all benefits in your spiritual life. But you need to chant it without offenses, and that will be the second, that will be the next session. Let me summarize what we have discussed in this session. We have described that you can really satisfy the Lord if you do it out of attachment and deep absorption in Him. To come to this attachment to Krishna, you will need a transformation in your heart from the I consciousness, the ego-centered consciousness, to the Krishna-centered consciousness. And this transformation, difficult transformation, will happen in a very, very nice way if you engage your body, if you flood your body with spiritual activities. Of all these, the chanting is reigns supreme, and it will purify you from your ego problems or egoistic life, and it will bring you to the stage where you develop attachment for Krishna or love, prema, the bliss of prema. This is so because the Lord has, the name is more merciful than even the Lord, and the name is invested with all power. And all power means also that power which we find in Rag Bhakti, deep absorption, where devotees have their spiritual identities and relate to Krishna in these roles. Because the holy name will not only destroy your ego, but it will give you your identity. When the name is even slightly revealed, it shows me my own spiritual form and characteristics. It steals my mind and takes it to Krishna's side. When the name is fully revealed, it takes me directly to Braj, where it shows me my personal role in the eternal pastimes. You need such verses when friends who have taken different initiations in different lines come and want to convince you. You need to say, here, read this and leave me with my japa. And they usually accept, because it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The exact quotation you want to know, it's in this. The song is called Krishna Nama Dhare Kata Bal. This is how it starts. Let me just find this verse. It's the last. Krishna, it's called Sri Nam Mahatmya, the glories of the holy name, a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is in his song collection of the Sharanagati, the last song. It's a beautiful description how it works. But we will continue now in the next session in a more, let me say, very relevant way, and I think it will be very interesting for you, that is in the way of overcoming offenses. You will have now a pause of 10 minutes again. Please use these pauses well for stretching also your mind and imagination. Please try to keep one of the essential advices given by our devotees who conduct the seminars, to keep the spiritual level of your consciousness, that is, not to engage in mundane talk. And you will hear again the signal when the pause is over. Hare Krishna.